Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today I have some catching up to do with you guys. I got to tell you, every day at work, I think to myself, oh, man, I need to put out a podcast episode tonight. I've got so much to talk about, and I'm hyped up about it. And that's at, like, I don't know, noon and 3 o'clock. And then it's election season, and our station ran off, our management ran off all of our CCAs, and so I'm being mandated and working 12 hours, 14 hours. And by the time I get home, I can walk the dog, take a shower, go to bed. And so no podcast gets produced. But I have to talk to you guys. Thank goodness today is Sunday. I did not work today. Instead, I did yard work. I went to Costco. I've done 4 loads of laundry. And now I'm doing this. And then in a little bit, I have an interview with C. Moline, which you guys will hear in the very near future, because we're going to talk about the Vote No campaign for the contract, which obviously I'm very much in favor of voting no. So before I get into the more and worse election shenanigans that are going on in my branch, I want to tell you guys about some really cool things, about some of the reach that this podcast has had, and it's so heartwarming. You know, every once in a while, I get emails from people who listen to the podcast, and they're reaching out to say thank you for the effort that I'm putting in. One person even said that they enjoyed the accents that I was doing back when I was recording the JCAM, not because they were good accents, even though they were flawless. You guys just don't know where those regions are, but they were flawless. But it was because I put energy into it. And I don't just blah, 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 blah. You know, I actually try to have some enthusiasm. And of course, that's why I haven't been releasing many episodes, because you guys deserve a good podcast. So anyway, so that's always really heartwarming when I get messages like that. And also when I get messages that say, hey, I'm having this problem or I have this question and can you help me with it? Just last night, I got a message from a carrier who's running for vice president, just like me. And he had shenanigans in his election, just like me. Lucky for him, the shenanigans were not as severe as the shenanigans that are happening in this branch, but they were still just petty, stupid shit that the incumbents do to try to hold down the competition. And so I gave him some advice on that as best I could. Another thing that happened is I read in the ELM, in that big part of season 3, when I was reading from the ELM, one of the things that I read about was that management can give out awards to carriers, that they can give awards specific to CCAs. They can even give what's called a qualitative step increase, where when you're doing such a good job, they can skip you ahead on the pay chart. And that's pretty awesome. And of course, management here never, ever does it. Well, stewards hear that those episodes, and branch officers hear those episodes. And I got a message from somebody who brought it up with their postmaster, and the postmaster's interested. It says, oh, yeah, we should do things like that. We really need to give back to the carriers and recognize them. And that's awesome because, you know, without listening to Classes of Mail, dude, who's going to take the time to read through the ELM and learn that stuff? And so that's exactly why I'm doing it, because, no, nobody has the time to sit down and read the ELM. That's ridiculous. But you can listen to it while you're out delivering the route, and you get some good information out of it. So that it's been super heartwarming. And then that gets us to the election. Because also, apparently, nobody has time to sit down and read the rules governing branch elections that is put out by the NALC. Because, oh my God, dude, the shit show just continues. So, As of our last update, let me list off the issues that we have had so far. First, when our election was announced, it was not announced in the postal record. It was announced in our state newsletter, which is allowed, but it was announced on the bottom right corner of page 5. And in the election manual, it says that it's supposed to be prominently featured on the front page if it's in your branch publication. If it's in the postal record, there's a very specific spot for it that has different colored pages. It's highlighted so that you know where to go to look for it. In the state publication, it appears to fall into a gray area. And I don't know. I don't know if it has to be on the front page or not. The election manual sure makes it seem like it does, especially because that is our de facto branch publication. But I don't know. I don't know if that's a violation or not. It feels like it is, but ultimately, it's still hidden and has the effect of holding down participation, which is going to be a theme. So, next, in that same section of the rules, it says that if somebody is going to be a delegate to the state and national conventions by virtue of their position, that it must be mentioned in the announcement. And in our announcement, there was no such mention. So I don't know how that will impact whether or not somebody is automatically, you know, like if I win this race for vice president, am I going to automatically be a delegate, or will there still have to be an election for that because it wasn't announced in the election announcements? I don't know. But it seems like if somebody was trying to run the election properly and they opened up that freaking book, that they would just see it. But that ain't their business around here. So there's that. Oh, and on that note, kind of stepping back to the podcast again, one of my buddies who lives in a suburb of Las Vegas, he was out getting his mail and he saw his letter carrier. This is out of our Valle Verde post office. If you're not local, it doesn't matter. But my buddy lives where the Valle Verde post office delivers. And he saw the carrier and he was talking to the carrier about our branch elections. And they talk for a minute, and my buddy mentioned me by name. And the carrier goes, oh, I know who that is. In fact, check this out. And he pulled up a text message on his phone that read, well, let me just read exactly what it said. And mind you, this was not sent by me. I had no idea this was circulating. It just was randomly the carrier who happened to be delivering to my buddy. It reads, quote, be sure to vote against Paul when your ballot comes and vote for Alan Gygax. Hopefully everyone in your office votes against Paul. Dude, how about that? That was really cool. So I know people in my station have voted for me, so I'm not going to get shut out. So at least there's that. But, you know, it could happen. And that's pretty exciting. All right. So anyway, then we fast forward to when the ballots come out. No, before that, there is an election committee that is supposed to do all of these things for the election. And it's very clear in the NALC Constitution and in our bylaws and in the election rules that all this stuff is supposed to be done by the committee. And luckily, we had like 10 people raise their hands for the committee. Well, the person who was appointed to be the chair of the committee apparently has been doing everything by himself, because we've talked to the people on the committee and they're like, yeah, we haven't even gotten a phone call yet about anything that's going on. And so some of the things that appear to have been done rogue are deciding that we're going to use a printer for our ballots instead of doing it ourselves. All right, it's reasonable. And then contracting with that printer to send out our ballots. But it appears that the funds to pay this printer and to do this whole process were never approved. In our branch bylaws, anything up to $500 can be approved just by the executive board. But we've talked to people on the executive board, and they were never asked to approve this expenditure. And anything above $500 has to go through the branch, and the branch has to approve it. You may have had a meeting like this at your branch where they said, hey, we'd like to budget $3,000 for the election so that we can get all the printing done and everything. And then you vote yay or nay. And the yeas always have it, or the ayes always have it. I don't recall that happening at my branch. And when I contacted the election committee chair to ask about that, he wouldn't respond. We got stonewalled. So it appears that our branch funds are being misappropriated because it was never approved to spend this kind of money. And moving on to the next problem, even if we are going to spend that kind of money, we'd sure like to spend it on ballots that are correct. So it turns out at least some of the ballots that went out to our members were sent out pre-sorted standard, We don't know how many, but a hypothesis is coming together about how this happened. We have something like 15 stations around our branch, and it appears that any station that had a steward election, in addition to the regular election, it had an extra insert in it, you know, because you got two ballots in there, one for the regular campaign and another one for your steward. Those all came out first class, whereas any station that had the stewards were already elected by acclamation, or we had a couple where nobody even ran, then they only had the single ballot in there, and those apparently came out standard. And so just guessing off the top of my head, that's maybe a third of our ballots that came out standard. So how many of those ballots never even made it to their destination? Well, we have no way to know because there's no ancillary service endorsement. They were just sent out standard. And when we ask the chair of the election committee, well, what did you order? How many did you send out? His answer is to not answer. We are getting stonewalled. So we don't know, you know, whether this is, you know, what did he actually order? Did he order some standard, some first class? Like, how did this happen? We're getting stonewalled on that. So the question here is, how many people, A, never got a ballot? Well, we have no way to know because if it's undeliverable, it doesn't go back to the branch. It doesn't get forwarded to where they live now. It just goes into the UBO and gets shredded. And then likewise, when a carrier receives a ballot like that and they see up in the corner that it says pre-sorted standard, their like is not to just throw it away because we all know as carriers that that's just ads. And so they may have thrown away their ballots and we have no idea how many that happened. So when the Department of Labor goes in and investigates whether a branch election needs to be rerun, one of the things that the primary question that they try to determine is, did this have a significant outcome or a significant effect on the outcome of the election? And I don't see how you could argue anything but yes, it did, because we don't even know how many people have been disenfranchised by this, how many people would have voted but for not getting their ballot properly sent to them. I mean, there's a reason why in the election rules it says must. And then adding to that, when this error was brought to the attention of the election committee, what did they decide to do about it? Nothing. Yeah, and that doesn't seem like an optimal solution. So then inside of that envelope was the ballot and the secret envelope so that you could send it back in, and then the return envelope, which is required to have postage on it. They didn't put any postage on it. So how many people decided not to vote because that was just another barrier to sending in their ballot? There is a reason that we do not charge people to vote, and that is effectively what's happening here, is these people are being charged to vote. And sure, plenty of people have their own stamps, but not everybody. And we have heard from at least some people who have said, I didn't even realize I had to put a stamp on it. I just dropped it in the outgoing mail. And so it's in there with insufficient postage. So what does that mean? What happens to those ballots? Once again, could this have had a significant impact on the outcome of the election? You're fucking right, it could. And what did the branch election committee decide to do about it? Well, the chair of the election committee said that he would that the branch would refund anybody who, you know, wanted to come down and get their 78 cents. At least that's what was said to Michael, my running mate, but that certainly hasn't been announced to the branch in any way. You know, none of the members know that. And so I had to offer stamps at my station. Hey, if anybody needs stamps, you know, I'll give you stamps because they're supposed to be, it's mandatory that they're included. So, dude, the chances of this election standing are extremely low. And then after that, we again ask questions of what did we actually order from this printing company? Did we order ballots with stamps on them and then they didn't give us ballots with stamps on them? Because that seems like a pretty big oversight, and it seems like that would be obvious by checking the invoices. So we ask the chair of the election committee, well, what's on these invoices? And he stonewalls again. Oh, I don't have any invoices. That's all. That's not handled by me. I don't pay the branch's bills, which is true, except that we've talked to the treasurer who should be handling all these bills. And she says that, I don't know, I haven't seen anything. That dude's been going rogue and doing it all himself. So it is shenanigans. It is shenanigans. And you know, the whole thing is like, if we give everybody the benefit of the doubt, like we give the chair of the election committee the benefit of the doubt, then, you know, let's assume if he did the right thing, then as soon as he should have consulted the election committee before deciding to go with this printing company. B, he should have consulted the election committee before placing the order. And C, he should have gotten approval for the expenditure before placing the order. That is also required in the NALC Constitution governing subordinate federal and subordinate branches. That's Article 9, Section 2, that you've got to get approval for this stuff first. And so if he actually got approval, then there would be like the estimate there. Like, hey, we're going to contract with this company to do our printing. This is what we're asking for. This is how much it costs. We've asked for these documents, and we're getting stonewalled. Apparently, none of this exists. And if that ain't shenanigans, I don't know what is. So that's what's going on in our election. It is a fucking mess. But we're still trying to win. We're still out there campaigning, trying to get it done. So we'll see. November 6th, the day after the big national election, is when our election comes. And I'll let you know how it goes. Guys, it's been a hell of a ride. So, and we have actually now sent a copy of all this information by certified letter to Brian Renfro's office. To report all these shenanigans, because apparently the branch not interested in addressing any of it. So good times. Thanks for listening, guys. And I will catch you next time.